I have a few questions so that I can understand a little bit about our audience.
请问大家几个问题，了解一下你们。
How many of you here are new?
在这里就是新加入 Krishna 之觉的，刚刚接触的，有多少人请举手？
How many of you here have read Sri Brahma Samhita?
在座的当中有谁曾经读过《婆罗诃摩赞》这本书，就是屏幕上的这本书。
I see one hand. The Shinamar, you bring. I see two hands. Three hands.
有三个人，看到了三个人的手举起来了。
I'd like to tell you a little history of Sri Brahma Samhita. Sri Brahma Samhita has 100 parts. Ninety-nine of those 100 parts are lost.
99%遗失了，流失了。But
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found one of those, the one remaining part.
但是呢，Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 发现了其中最重要的一部分。The
Brahma Samhita was spoken by or written by Lord Brahma. He is the source.
那么呢，Brahma，婆罗诃摩。 他亲自写下了《婆罗诃摩赞》这样的一本书，他是源头。And
Lord Chaitanya found a copy when he was traveling in South India.
当主持人旅行到南印度的时候，他发现了这一本书。Those
of you that are new don't know who is Lord Chaitanya.
那么在座的大家有谁不知道主持人旅行是谁的举手，请举手。
So you're going to have to be very patient with me.
那么大家一定要耐心地听我讲。
Because I'm going to be describing during the course of this national holiday many things you've never heard before.
因为在国庆节的七天当中，我所讲的是大家以前就是不熟悉的，没听说过的。
When Lord Chaitanya found this book at the Adi Keshava Temple in South India.
那么当Chaitanya Mahaprabhu在南印度Adikesha这个庙的时候，发现这本书的时候，
He started dancing and jumping up and down.
然后他一下子就高兴地跳了起来，从地上一跃腾空而起。
Do you know anybody that started dancing when they found a book?
那么您曾经听说过有谁发现了一本书，令他高兴地一下子就跳到半空中的？
Lord Chaitanya did.
那么主持人他就做到了。Because
this Sri Brahma Samhita, just from reading it, he could understand it's the same message that he has been teaching himself.
那么呢，因为这本书啊，当他一读到的时候，他就一下子就知道了，这曾经是他亲自教导的。Just
as Srimad Bhagavatam confirms everything that Lord Chaitanya taught.
那么呢，就像是Srimad Bhagavatam，其中包括了主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu所教授的一切。So
also does Sri Brahma Samhita.
同样的，《婆罗诃摩赞》这本书当中也是如此。There
were no printing presses at that time.
在那个时候呢，没有印刷社，没有印刷厂。So
Lord Chaitanya engaged one Brahmana to make a written copy.
所以呢。 那么那个时候，主Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就请了一位婆罗门写，用手抄本写下了。And
he very carefully wrapped that copy in a cloth.
而且呢，他非常小心翼翼的用布把它包了起来。And
he brought that book back with him when he returned to Jagannath Puri.
当他回到了 Jagannath Puri 的时候，他就把这本书带到了 Jagannath Puri.
He carried it with him for nearly 2 years.
那么呢，他亲自随身带着。一共一两年的时间，一直都是随身带着。
And when he came back to Puri,
当他回到 Puri 的时候,
he had copies made for all of his intimate associates.
然后呢,他就为他所有的那些亲密的同友每人一本手抄本。
Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and they all made copies.
那么 Swarup Damodar, Sarvabhauma Acharya, 还有所以 Ramananda Roy, 所有的他们这些人都有一人一本。
And it became a standard representation of Lord Chaitanya's teachings.
而且呢，他们也成了就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导的标准的这种版本。
And shortly thereafter, one of the six Goswamis, Jiva Goswami, he wrote elaborate commentary on the subject verse by verse of Sri Brahma Samhita.
后来不久之后呢，还Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, 他们为这婆罗诃摩赞写了大量的评注。
Then some time passed.
后来过了一段时间。
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur made a Bengali rendering of Jiva Goswami's Sanskrit commentary.
然后呢 ,Bhaktivinoda Thakur 呢又把 Jiva Goswami 用梵文写的这个评述呢把它用孟加拉文评注出来。
And then his son Bhaktisiddhanta made a presentation in English.
后来呢，他的儿子 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 的儿子 Bhaktisiddhanta 又用英文把它撰著出来。
The special emphasis is going to disciplic succession.
那么呢，所说这一切呢，都是为了强调，这是从始祖传系传授下来的。
From Lord Brahma to Lord Chaitanya.
从婆罗诃摩到主 Chaitanya.
Lord Chaitanya to the six Goswamis.
主 Chaitanya 到六 Goswami.
Six Goswamis to Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
然后从六位 Goswami 一直到 Bhakti Vinod Thakur.
Bhakti Vinod Thakur, then Bhakti Siddhanta.
然后 Bhakti Vinod Thakur 一直到 Bhakti Siddhanta.
And then Srila Prabhupada authorized that the Bhakti Vedanta Book Trust, the BBT, publish this book.
然后呢，后来 Srila Prabhupada 又授权 BBT, 国际Krishna 直觉信托投资公司又出版了这样的书籍。
One of Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit scholar students named Pradyumna.
然后 Srila Prabhupada 的其中一个学生，他是一个梵文专家，叫 Pradyumna.
He was very fond of books.
那么呢，他呢就他就写了这样的，他翻译了这样的书籍。
And one year after the Hare Krishna movement began, he found a copy.
Krishna, 他加入 Krishna 知觉一年之后，他就发现了这样的一个复印版。
And he wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada asking, is it okay if he could read it?
后来呢 ,Pradyumna 他就写信给 Srila Prabhupada 说他能不能读这本书。
So Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in reply.
然后呢 ,Srila Prabhupada 呢就答复了他，这样写道。
This Sri Brahma Samhita contains the highest of all spiritual knowledge.
这本婆罗诃摩赞涵盖了最高的灵性的知识。
It is the gist of Srimad Bhagavatam.
它就像是 Srimad Bhagavatam.
Where everything about Krishna is perfectly described.
那么呢，这本书里面完美了讲述了关于 Krishna 的一切。
Prabhupada went on.
然后 Srila Prabhupada 后来又说道，
One who reads Brahma Samhita very carefully.
那么一个仔细研读婆罗诃摩赞的人
and scrutinizingly
并是仔细的去研读它
can understand everything of Krishna without any fault
他就能够准确无误的了解关于 Krishna 的一切
wouldn't you like to know everything about Krishna
难道你们不想了解关于 Krishna 的一切吗
without any fault
就是准确无误的去了解 Krishna
Brahma Samhita
这是Brahma Samhita, 婆罗诃摩赞。
I recommend therefore that all my students read Brahma Samhita very carefully.
所以呢，我忠告我的学所有的学生要仔细的去阅读研读婆罗诃摩赞。
Especially because it was translated personally by my spiritual master.
尤其是因为这本书是由我的灵性导师亲自翻译的。
The audience of this record are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn.With great care and attention, as a devotee at daily function.
Thus, you don't understand that in Chinese.
因为它不是没有翻译成中文，所以大家
But I'll give you a little history.
但是这就是关于他的历史。
In 1966, Srila Prabhupada established the formal registry of ISKCON in New York City.
那么呢，在1966年，Srila Prabhupada正式的在纽约建立了国际 Krishna 知觉协会。
That very same year, 1966, then 1967.
那么呢，就是那同一年，一直到1968年。
Srila Prabhupada went to a recording studio in New York City.
那么呢，他在纽约呢，就做了一些这个录音。
And he made a professional recording of the Brahma Samhita prayers that we're going to be studying today.
那么呢，这就是我们今天要学到的，当时所录下的这个婆罗诃摩赞的这样的一些录音资料。
Probably Nrisimha Maharaj remembers.As a new devotee, I probably heard that record album several hundred times.
Several
hundred times. Whenever we took prasadam, we would be hearing it.
婆罗就是我们在那会儿早期的时候，奉献者读婆罗诃摩赞读了好几百遍。
Prabhupada wanted to give us this teaching.
因为释迦牟尼佛想把这样的教导给予我们。
And then he.At the end of singing the recording,
那么呢，在做这个录音的最后的时候
，he described in very simple language.
然后他就描述了以非常简洁的语言描述
something that you're going to hear about later in this seminar.
那么释迦帕帕当时以非常简洁明了的语言去描述了我们在这几天所要听到的内容。
Technically, it's called mantra.
那么呢，在
upasana.
在技术上，这被称为 mantra upasana。
upasana。
mantra upasana。
upasana means worship。
upasana 的意思是崇拜。
And you all know the meaning of mantra。
那么大家都知道曼陀罗的意思 ，mantra 的意思。
There is a process described in Brahma Samhita。
那么呢，在婆罗诃摩赞里面有这样的一个描述的程序。
Of how it is possible today。
他描述的是如今我们如何去
to enter into Krishna's eternal pastimes
如何能够有可能的进入到主 Krishna 的永恒的逍遥时光中
The process is called mantra upasana
那么呢这个程序被称为 mantra upasana
Prabhupada didn't use the term mantra upasana
当时呢 Srila Prabhupada 并没有用这个术语 mantra upasana
But in this little recordingHe gives the summary of what that process is.
但是呢，在这个录音当中，释迦牟尼佛德描述了这个 mantra upasana 是一个什么样的程序。
Now I'm going to play it again.
现在我再给大家放一次。
She's then going to translate. When it's done.
Sure. Okay.
The audience, the hearers of this record, are requested to study and try to enter into the spirit of this hymn.With great care and attention as a regular daily function.
那么呢，他说希望 ISKCON 的所有的这些学生们能够仔细的去阅读这样的知识。
The purpose, the reason I'm going through this is so you can understand the gravity with which our founder Acharya wanted to give us this message.
那么呢，实际上我在这里之所以讲到它的历史背景，是为了就是让我们怀着一种感恩的心态，先前的 Acharya 给予我们的这样的知识，提供了这样的知识。
Here is what the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita says about how important this literature is.
那么呢，在这里 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的作者，他在这里是描述了这本书。
Just read in Chinese.
那么是这样描述的：就关于终极的灵性结论而言，没有哪部经典可与 Brahma 赞相比美。千真万确，这部经典揭示的是关于主 Govinda 的最高的知识，故而最为极致的揭示了他的荣耀。由于一切结论都简明扼要的呈现在婆罗诃摩赞之中。所以它是全部 Vaishnava 典籍之中的重中之重。
There's a very long purport that follows this verse.
那么关于这个诗节的要旨是非常长的。
In the purport, Prabhupada lists the 86 different subject matters that are covered in this book.
那么呢，在这个要旨里面，须拉帕帕德描述了
86
个品质。
86 different subject matters.
那么那么那么须拉帕帕在这在要旨里面描述了这本书的86个方方面面。
In 62 verses, it summarizes the entire Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么其中呢有62个时节是概述了整部圣典不加瓦坛。
The book is very skinny.
这本书是非常小的，看上去很小很薄。
But it's very heavy.
但是这本书的分量却很重。
So one last thing before we begin.
那么现在我们在开始的还要请。
There will be many subject matters that you've never heard before.
那么呢，就是大家可能从以前从未听说的一点。
And if you don't understand everything that you hear, don't worry.
那么大家如果对你所听到的不明白的话，也不用担心。
Here's something that Srila Prabhupada said about Bhaktisiddhanta.
那么呢，在这里呢，Srila Prabhupada讲到了 Bhaktisiddhanta.
There was a monthly magazine.That Prabhupada had started when he was still living in India.
那么呢，是的，帕帕德以前还在印度的时候，他开创了一本杂志。
And when he came to America, he asked devotees to continue the Bhakti Godhead magazine.
然后他去到了美国之后，他告诉奉献者们应该继续出版印刷回归守神杂志。
And the devotees asked.Srila Prabhupada, is it okay to sometimes print Bhaktisiddhanta articles?
那么呢，后来奉献者就问Srila Prabhupada，有的时候去在回归守神杂志发表Bhaktisiddhanta写的文章可不可以？
Srila Prabhupada approved, but gave a certain condition.
然后呢，Srila Prabhupada同意了。
He said,
但是给了几个条件。
Said, whatever you publish by Bhaktisiddhanta, it should be very short.
然后他就说到了，当你去发表 Bhaktisiddhanta 的文章的时候，应该是那些简短的文章。
Because the subject matter and the language are very high.
因为他的这个主题，还有他使用的语言都非常高深。
And people will not understand.
可能人们读起来，他不能够明白其中的要义。
Then Prabhupada went on to describe what it was like hearing Bhaktisiddhanta speak in person.
然后呢，他就说到了。他从 Bhaktisiddhanta 那里
跟别人
谈话的时候提到了。
He said, when I was hearing from my spiritual master, my brain was puzzled.
然后他就跟人家就讲到了，他亲自去聆听他的灵性导师讲话的时候，他说，当我以前聆听到 Bhaktisiddhanta 的讲话的时候，我的脑袋里稀里糊涂的。
But I stayed and listened.
但是呢，我仍然继续聆听。
Because I had faith.
因为我内心有信心。
That even my brain was puzzled.
即便我的大脑
对
他
理解他所说的，
但是只要聆听他所讲述的这些信息，我的内心就得到了净化。
So I stayed and listened.
所以呢，我继续坐在那里聆听。
And today that is my qualification.
那么现在我所具有的这个品质，
I had great faith in hearing from my spiritual master.
那就是我对我的灵性导师的教导是充满了信心。
And just by hearing from him,
那么只是通过聆听他的教导，
today now I can speak.
那么所以今天我才能够发话说话。
So, same for all of you.
所以呢，同样的对于大家也是如此。
If you hear new things.
如果你聆听到了一些新的自己不知道的知识，
And it's a little puzzling.
而且呢有一点不理有一些糊涂不理解，
With faith, go on hearing.
但是呢心怀信心的继续聆听，
And then later you can go back and listen to the recording.
然后呢当听完以后下课了可以继续聆听录音讲座，
And you can hear it again.
然后再听一遍，
And if you don't understand it, then you can listen to it again.
如果还不明白的话，再继续聆听。
I'm just repeating what Prabhupada said to us.
那么我在这里只是重复希特帕帕德告诉我们的。
When he published Nectar of Devotion.
那么当他去发当他去出版《奉爱的甘露》的时候。
Like some of you, we were very new.
那个时候呢，我们跟大家一样，那个时候都是一个刚入门的。
And the devotees were writing letters to Prabhupada saying, "We don't understand."
后来呢，是他的门徒就。 奉献者呢就给帕帕写信说我们不明白这其中的要义。
And he wrote reply letters.
然后呢施特帕帕回信说
saying if you don't understand, read it again.
那施特帕帕说如果不明白的话再读一遍。
And after reading it again, if you don't, still don't understand, read it again.
然后帕帕说到了如果你读了一遍又不还是不明白的话再读。
And continue in this way and gradually you'll understand.
那么呢逐渐逐渐的不断的这样去阅读的话逐渐逐渐的你就能够明白了。
Because the sound vibration is purifying.
因为音振它是具有净化力的。
Some of you here are disciples of Tamal Krishna Maharaj.
那么在座的其中的有一些奉献者是 Tamal Krishna Maharaj 的门徒。
And I'll share with you a similar thing that happened with Prabhupada.
然后呢我跟大家来分享一下他关于他和施特帕帕之间的一些事情。
In 1970, Prabhupada took a number of Western European and American devotees to India.
然后在1970年的时候那个时候施特帕帕就带着一些欧洲还有美国的一些门徒跟他把他带到了带到了印度。
And together they traveled all over India.
然后呢他就带着这些门徒一起旅行了全印度。
Holding sometimes big festivals and sometimes like 6 and 7 programs every day throughout the day.
那个时候有的时候举行非常盛大的节目甚至每天有6到8次节目。
Sometimes they went to homes where people didn't speak English.
然后呢有的时候他们去到那些不会说英文的一些家庭当中。
And so Prabhupada would speak in their language, either Hindi or Bengali.
后来呢施特帕帕的就用他们的语言要么是印度语或者是孟加拉文。
These American and European devotees didn't speak anything other than English.
然后因为他们说的因为那些欧洲或者是美国的那些奉献者他们只会说英文他们不明白印度语和孟加拉文。
So when it came time for class,They got restless. They wanted to get up and leave.
然后呢，当他们去参加这样的，去了啪啪用英文用印度文或者是孟加拉文讲课的时候，这些奉献者就想离开，因为他们听不懂。
So he instructed them, "No, you just sit here and listen. Even if you don't understand the language, it's purifying."
那么，去了啪啪的就告诉他们说：“不，你们不要走，你们就坐在这里。即便你们不明白这些言语，只要你们聆听了，你们就会得到净化。”
So this is a course on Sri Brahma Samhita.
那么这就是要讲的就是关于 Brahma Samhita 婆罗诃摩赞的课程。
And some of the subject matter may puzzle your brain.
可能就是有一些那么其中的一些主题也许你们听起来以后不能明白。
But stay and listen anyway.
但是呢无论怎样吧你们就坐在那里继续聆听。
Because the message is so glorious.
因为这个信息是如此的荣耀。
It will purify.
它具有净化力会净化我们
In this case we have a translator
所以呢就是因为这个原因所以我们有了翻译
But even if there wasn't a translator the message of Sri Brahma Samhita is purifying
那么即便没有翻译在场的话那么关婆罗诃摩赞的讯息它同样是具有净化力的
Try to listen carefully
所以大家要仔细的聆听
I'll go at a moderate pace
那么我现在就是以一般的速度
And I hope you find it satisfying.
那么希望大家能够心满意足。
So let us chant together the first verse.
那我们现在大家一起来念诵第一个诗节。
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchit Ananda Vairava Ananya Raya Govinda Sarvananda
Krishna 以 Govinda 著称是至尊守神他拥有永恒喜乐的灵性形体他是一切的根源他没有其他的源头因为他就是万源之源、
So let's see here Oh good for you Okay So this is a vocabulary word that you're not familiar with
那么这是我们在这里的抬头大家可能这个词大家不熟
You see the word is Paribhasha Sutra
大家可以一起读
Paribhasha Sutra
Sutra you've heard before
那么 Sutra 这个词大家已经
Vedanta Sutra
Vedanta Sutra
Vedanta Sutra is the in little codes the entire Srimad Bhagavatam compressed.
那么 Vedanta Sutra 呢是以非常精炼的语言描述的是整部圣典不加瓦坛的信息。
So this is a different kind of sutra.
那么呢这里讲到了这个 Sutra 呢是另外一部。
It's a technical term that means the following.
那么呢，这是一个专业术语，它的意思是跟随、追随。
It's a text that comes at the beginning of a book.
那么这本书的就是一开始讲述的内容。
And it governs or rules all the other messages in the book.
那么呢，它就是贯穿到了。他把这个整个是整个内容都贯穿在一起。
Jiva Goswami says.
那么 Jiva Goswami 说道。
Other statements that may be otherwise without restriction are restricted by this one.
那么可能其他的一些来源没有去跟随这本书里面所提到的那些原则规则。
There may be thousands and millions of.Other statements that appear unrelated to one another.
那么呢，可能有其他的成千上万个关于这个成千上万个陈述，他们彼此之间相连着。
But they found their foundation in this one.
但是呢，他们的基础却在这本书当中。
And if it seems that they're saying something other,
那么即便他们提到了其他的一些事。
It must be connected again to this one because this one governs them.
因为这本书呢涵盖了所有其他的，所以他们即便是其他的那些陈述，他们也是基于这本书的内容之上。
It's only spoken once.
那么呢，他只讲述了。
But it's very powerful.
但是呢，是非常强而有力的。
Like an emperor has many subjects that are, they may also be powerful, but he controls all of them.There's an emperor that has many powerful subjects, but the emperor controls all of them.
那么就像是一个帝王，
像一个国王
一样，他有很多的助手，
臣民，
然后他但是呢，他能够去主导统治这些臣民一样。
So this first verse of Sri Brahma Samhita is a Paribhasha Sutra.
所以呢，那么是吗的。婆罗诃摩赞的第一个师节被称为 Paribhasa Sutra.
In his Sandarbhas, his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam called the Sandarbhas, Jiva Goswami explains, Srimad Bhagavatam also has a Paribhasa Sutra.
那么呢，就像 Jiva Goswami 对圣典薄伽瓦坛所做的 Sambada 评注，他说圣典薄伽瓦坛也有他的 Paribhasa Sutra.
Those of you that take notes, you can note it down.
那么那些想要做笔记的，可以把这一点写在你的笔记本上。
1328.
那么是在1328页
It's the verse that says Krishna is the source.Of all the various incarnations.
那么呢，这个世界里的内容是这样写到的 ：Krishna 是所有化身的源头。
Iti chamsakala kungsam Krishna stup Bhagavan swayam. Krishna is the source of everything.
那么 Krishna 是一切的根源。
Similarly, nectar devotion has such a verse.
同样的，在奉爱的甘露里面也有这样的一个师节。
I understand that Nrisimha Maharaj is going to be speaking on nectar of instruction.
我了解到Narasimha Swami 将要讲教诲的甘露。
Another very important book of Rupa Goswami is Nectar of Devotion.
那么呢，还有 Rupa Goswami 写的另外一个非常重要的书籍就是奉爱的甘露。
And there is a Paribhasha Sutra for Nectar of Devotion.
而且呢，也有 Paribhasha Sutra. 那么奉爱的甘露也有它的 Paribhasa Sutra.
The subject of Nectar of Devotion is devotion.
那么呢，奉爱的甘露的主题呢，就是奉爱。
Bhakti or devotional service to Krishna.
Bhakti 指的是对 Krishna 的奉爱服务。
So that verse defines what bhakti is.
那么呢，这本书里面就对 bhakti 下了一个定义。
It also says what bhakti isn't.
而且它也描述了什么不是 bhakti。
So that verse governs all the other verses of nectar devotion.
所以呢，那么这个诗节呢，它贯穿了整个所有这本书里面的其他的诗节。
And all the other verses.Are expanding on that one verse.
而且呢，这个书籍里面的所有的其他的诗节都是基于这个诗节基础之上进行深入的解释。
So I'm going to make reference to this in the course of the seminar, so please remember the term.
所以呢，那么大家请记住这个术语。现在我来引述一下其他的这个经典的，我来引述一下。
Even more importantly, remember what the verse says.
那么呢，我们要记住这个诗节讲的内容。
And that's what we're going to do right now.
那么现在我们来深入的讲解一下。
The first is Ishvara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the Parama Ishvara, the supreme controller.
那么 Krishna 是 Parama Ishvara, 他是至尊控制者。
All of us are little tiny Ishvaras, tiny controllers.
那我们大家所有都是非常渺小的 Ishvara, 渺小的控制者。
We're all controlling something.
我们人人都在控制着什么东西。
We're in charge of our shoes.
当我们去买鞋。
Sometimes even somebody takes our shoes.
那么有的时候呢，甚至有人他们会拿着我们的鞋。
We're in charge of our devotional service and the things that we do to serve Krishna.
所以呢，同样的，我们用我们的感官去为 Krishna 做奉爱服务。
And even people that aren't devotees of Krishna, they're controlling something.
那么即便那些人他没有去服务 Krishna 的那些人，他们也要控制的某个东西、某物。
But all those little controllers, they're controlled by someone.
但是呢，所有这些渺小的所谓的控制者，他们被另外一个人控制着。
Krishna is the exception.
那么 Krishna 呢是一个例外。
He's controlling everyone, but he's not controlled by anyone.
Krishna 他控制着每一个人，但是他却不受每一个人的控制。
And that's the meaning.
这就是其中的要义。
Let's see some examples.
然后我们来看一些例子。
Lord Brahma, he creates the universe.
那么婆罗诃摩 Brahma 他创造了宇宙。
But the power to create comes from Brahma, comes from Krishna.
但是呢，他进行创造的这种力量是由 Krishna 赐予的。
And once the creation is manifested,
那么一旦这个创造被展示出来。
There are demigods or controlling personalities of that universe.
然后呢，我们在这个宇宙当中有半神人，他们对这个宇宙进行管理、控制。
Power to control and regulate comes from Krishna.
但是他们这种控制和管理宇宙的这种力量是来自于 Krishna.
And so they worship him, or they worship Vishnu.
所以这些半神人们，崇拜 Vishnu 或 Krishna.
Here is a painting illustrating the demigods coming.To the shore of the Milk Ocean, offering prayers to Lord Vishnu.
那么呢，在这个图面呢，表明的是半神人们他们去到牛奶之洋，向 Vishnu 祈祷。
There we see Lord Shiva.
那么有其中有主希瓦。
And there we see Lord Indra.
而且有 Indra 在内。
And there's various other demigods.
还有其他的半神人们。
These controllers are dependent upon the supreme independent controller.
那么呢，所有的这些半神人们，他们完全依靠着独立自主的至尊主 Krishna.
Indra worships Krishna.
Indra 崇拜 Krishna.
This is at the end of the lifting of the Govardhan Hill.
这件事情呢，是发生在主 Krishna 举起 Govardhan 山这个逍遥时光之后。
Indra comes before.Krishna and offers his prayers.
那么 Indra 去到了 Krishna 面前，向他供奉祷文。
Lord Brahma, he offers his prayers to Krishna after the stealing of the calves and cowherd boys.
那么当主 Brahma 他偷走了 Krishna 的牧牛童和乳牛之后，去到 Krishna 面前向他供奉祷文。
So that's Ishvara Parama Krishna. He is the supreme controller.
这就是 Ishvara Parama, 这 Krishna 是至尊的控制者。
And Then the next line describes Krishna's vigraha or his form.
然后接下来的一行呢，描写了 Krishna 的形体。
His form is made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss.
他的形体呢是由极乐、知识、永恒构成。
Please note that that's not what the forms of this world are made of.
那么大家一定要注意到 ，Krishna 的形体不是在这个物质世界里的这些物质元素组成的。
Nrisimha Maharaj described that very nicely in his morning class.
那么今天早上 ，Nrisimha Maharaj 对此进行了非常精彩的描述。
Our bodies are temporary.
我们的躯体是短暂的。
In Sanskrit, that is asat, but Krishna's form is sat.
那么在梵文当中。短暂的被称为是 asat， 而 Krishna 的形体是永恒的，是 asat。
Krishna's form is made of transcendental knowledge, and our body is ignorant.
而 Krishna 的形体呢，是由超然的知识构成的，而我们的形体却处在愚昧当中。
When we say our prayer before taking prasadam，
那么当我们在荣耀 prasadam 之前，我们要要念诵祷文。
The first line says。Sharira avidya jao.
那么第一行就是 sharira avidya jao.
Avidya means ignorance, and sharira means the body. The body is a lump of ignorance.
那么呢，这就是说到了我们这个物质躯壳是愚昧的罗网。
Not Krishna, his body is made of transcendental knowledge.
那么 Krishna 的身体不仅仅只是超然的知识构成。
And his body is made of transcendental bliss, ananda.
而且他的身体是由超然的极乐 ananda 构成。
Our body is filled with different difficulties and pains.
那我们的身体呢，会经历各种各样的疼痛，还有这种困难。
Anyway, this verse is going to be referred to maybe 8 times in the course of this seminar.
那么呢，这个诗节呢，可能会在这一次讲座当中会不断的提到至少八次。
Further verses of Brahma Samhita glorify and further explain.The transcendental, infallible, perfect nature of Krishna's form.
那么呢，在接下来的诗节里面就讲述了 Krishna 的不可思议的、充满这种这种能量的灵性能量的他的身体。
A little illustration: eternality, knowledge, and bliss. This is Krishna's form.
那么呢，现在呢是进一步的描述了 Krishna 的身体是永恒、充满极乐和知识。
And then, Anadir.Adir Govinda. This means.
那么
Adi means the original. 那么 he is the source of everything.
那么 Adir 的意思是他是源头。那也就是说 ，Krishna 是一切的源头。
And yet he has no beginning.
那么还有说到了他没有开始 ，Krishna 没有开始。
He comes before everyone, and no one comes before him.
那么呢？那么所有的人呢，所有的万事万物都是来自于 Krishna， 而 Krishna 没有源头。
This is Garbhadakshayi Vishnu.
这是 Garbhadakshayi Vishnu.
And this is the lotus that comes from the navel of Garbhadakshayi Vishnu.
然后呢，这里有一朵莲花，是从 Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 的肚脐上升起的，长出了一朵莲花。
And there's Lord Brahma.
那么在这朵莲花上坐着 Brahma， 婆罗诃摩。
Lord Brahma creates this universe.
那 Brahma 他创造了这个宇宙。
But prior to Brahma existing, Garbhadakshayi Vishnu is existing.
那么呢，是在Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 他的是因为他的存在，所以才有了 Brahma 的存在。
So Brahma is the firstborn living being.
那么所以呢 ，Brahma 他是这个宇宙当中的第一个生物体。
And Garbhadakshayi Vishnu has no birth.
而 Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 没有出生。
And yet at the same time, the source of Lord Vishnu is Govinda.
所以呢，同样的 Govinda 的这个源头，它也是 Govinda.
The commentary on this verse by Jiva Goswami is about 50 pages long.
那么 Jiva Goswami 对这个诗节所做出的评述一共有长达55页。
I'm making it really easy for all of you.
15.
I'm making 50. I'm making this really easy for all of you.
我想，这对大家来说，我呢，就是在这里简短的，以大家比较容易的方式跟大家说一下。
There's about 5 pages just explaining the significance of this word Govinda.
那么其中有五页呢，整整有五页的这个内容，解释的是 Govinda 这个词的意思。
And the prayers that we're going to be reciting together, each one is glorifying Govinda.
而且呢，就是有一系列的关于荣耀 Govinda 的这个诗节。
What does Govinda mean?
那么 Govinda 是什么意思呢？
Go in Sanskrit means
那么 go 在梵文当中是乳牛的意思。
That's hearing bull. You're hired. And Vinda means one who gives pleasure to.
那么 Vinda 的意思是给他人快乐的意思。
And where does Govinda reside?
那么 Govinda 住在哪呢？
He resides in Go.Loka, which means the planet of cows.
那么他住在 Goloka, 他住在乳牛在的地方。
Krishna loves cows.
Krishna 非常非常爱这些乳牛。
And the cows love Krishna.
而且这些乳牛也非常非常深爱着 Krishna.
And there are so many cows in Goloka.
那么在 Goloka 有很多很多的乳牛。
This is Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna.
这是 Nanda Maharaj, Krishna 的父亲。
Of course, Krishna has no father because he's Anadir Adir Govinda.
当然了 ，Krishna 是没有父亲的，因为是他是 Anadir Adir Govinda.
But this place, Goloka, is so wonderful.
但是呢 ，Goloka 这个地方是如此的美妙。
That the love of Nanda Maharaj and the love of Nanda Maharaj is so strong.
因为 Nanda Maharaj 的爱是如此的强烈。
He loves Krishna so purely and so intimately as like a father loves a son.
他对 Krishna 是如此的深爱的，他这种纯净对 Krishna 的这种爱是纯净的父爱之情。
Krishna reciprocates with that mood of love.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就回应了他的这种爱的心情。
And he acts as if he is Nanda Maharaj's son.
所以呢，他就以 Nanda Maharaj 的儿子的身份活动行事。
And Nanda Maharaj has 900,000 cows.
那么 Nanda Maharaj 有900,000头乳牛。
And a lot of calves too.
而且还有很多的小牛小牛。
And a lot of bulls too.
还有很多的公牛。
So he's Govinda.
这就是 Govinda.
And although he's taking the form of a young cowherd boy.
尽管 Krishna 他呈现的是一个小牧牛童的样子
He is the cause of all causes
但他却是万源之源
Here's a painting of Vyasadeva
这是 Vyasadeva 冥想 Krishna
And he's meditating on Krishna who is born in the prison house of Kamsa
那么那个时候 Vasudeva 他正在冥想 Krishna
that,
出生在 Kamsa 的监狱里
Krishna is the source ofGarbhadakshayi Vishnu,
Krishna 是Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 的源头
who is reclining in the ocean of milk.
那么 Garbhadakshayi Vishnu 躺在牛奶之阳上。
But in the transcendental realm of Goloka, there's Radha and Krishna.
但在超然的国度当中，有 Radha Krishna 住在那里。
Because he is the cause of all causes.
因为他是一切源头的源头。
He is the source of all incarnations.
他是所有化身的源头。
Let's see. Yeah. And that's the Sarva Karana Karanam is the Sanskrit.
那么这就是 Sarva Karana Karana， 这是梵文。
Sarva means all.
Sarva 的意思是一切。
Karana means cause.
Karana 的意思是原因。
And Krishna is the Karanam or the cause of all causes.
那么 Krishna 是 Karanam， 它是所有原因的原因。
So that's the Paribhasa Sutra.
这就是 Paribhasa Sutra.
And for the next 28 verses.
然后接下来的28个诗节。
About 60 of the 86 subject matters are discussed.
然后呢，就讲述了86个主题当中的62个。
And we're not going to discuss those 60.
那么呢，我们不会一一讲述这60个。
Because we don't have time.
因为我们没有这么多的时间。
We're just going to begin with the verse 29.
我们现在看从29世界开始。
Where Brahma is describing his ecstatic realization about Krishna.
那么呢，在这个世界里面，Brahma 的描述了自己对 Krishna 的非常实际的觉悟。
Brahma is given two Gayatri mantras.
那么在这里呢 ，Brahma 他给出了两个 Gayatri mantra 当中的两段。
The second one he receives is directly from the flute of Krishna.
那么其中的第二段呢，它是直接的从 Krishna 的笛声当中得到的。
Would you like to hear the sound of Krishna's flute someday?
大家想听到 Krishna 的笛音吗
？Yes. Well.A shortcut to hear the sound of Krishna's flute.
那么呢，去聆听 Krishna 的笛音的这个捷径是
is to receive Gayatri mantra.
那就是去获得 Gayatri mantra.
Because one of our Gayatri mantras is what Brahma vibrated after hearing the sound of Krishna's flute.
因为 Gayatri mantra 当中的一个 Gayatri mantra 就是当 Brahma 聆听到了 Krishna 的笛音之后从他口里讲述出来的诗句。
And if you read verse 3 and verse 17 of Brahma Samhita, you can find out what those mantras are.
那么大家去阅读婆罗诃摩赞的其中的
三和
十七诗节就能够知道这个 mantra 是说的什么内容。
But just like Nrisimha Maharaj described this morning,
就像今天早上 Nrisimha Maharaj 所讲到的
，and our acharyas described as well，
而且是我们的先前的 acharya 灵性导师所讲述的。
It's not as simple as finding the mantra in a book and then chanting it。
那么不是说是只是在书中找到这样的 mantra 就能够去引述出来，不是这么简单的一件事。
You first have to qualify yourself as Brahma did。
那么首先呢，要让自己具有婆罗门的资格，婆罗门的品质。
And then you have to hear Krishna's flute。
然后呢，你还要去聆听，才能够聆听到 Krishna 的笛音。
Or you have to receive that mantra in the cyclic succession.
或者是你是通过使徒传系当中的灵性导师，而不是从其他人那里得到这样的曼陀罗。
So he meditated upon that mantra for thousands of years.
所以呢，婆罗诃摩他就一直冥想这个曼陀罗，冥想了好几千年。
And then Brahma Samhita describes.
然后呢 ，Brahma Samhita 又描述的。
He had two realizations.
那么他有两个觉悟。
He began to understand his own position as an eternal maid servant of Krishna.
他开始明白了，觉悟到了自己是 Krishna 的仆人。
That is to say, he understood his spiritual form and his position in eternal service to Krishna in the spiritual world.
所以呢，这就是为什么他就能够明白自己在去服务 Krishna 的
在
灵性世界里灵性。
And then it says, the second thing, he became acquainted with the ocean of truth about Krishna.
然后呢，第二件事情就是他描述了
the ocean of truth about Krishna.
然后第二个就是他描述了关于 Krishna 的真理的海洋。
And then he spoke these wonderful prayers.
然后接下来他就讲出了这样美妙的祷文。
And this morning we're going to discuss the first one of the Govindam prayers.
那么今天早上呢，我们读到了其中的一段。
So, in case you don't know Sanskrit, this is what it means.
那么接下来要讲这个诗节的意思。
Translation.
我崇拜原始的主，万事万物的起源 Govinda， 他照料着乳牛，满足一切愿望，居住在由灵性珠宝铸造、由数百万如愿树环绕的住所，千百万幸运女神或牧牛姑娘怀着深深的敬意与爱侍奉着他。
So, This is describing Goloka.
那么这就是对
The abode of Krishna.
这就是对 Krishna 的住所 Goloka 的描述。
What you're seeing on the screen here is from the purport of text 31, which is two verses later.
那么呢，现在你在屏幕上看到的这个诗，这个这上面的内容是头三个诗节诗文自然形成的一个部分。
I'll summarize what it's saying.
然后我在此概述一下其中的内容。
Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that the first three verses perform provide.A natural group.
那么呢 ，Bhaktisiddhanta Thirsat Thakur 说到了，这头三个诗节呢，自然的形成了其中的一个部分。
The first verse, this one, is describing the abode of Krishna.
那么第一个诗节呢，描述的是 Krishna 的住所。
The next one is describing the form of Krishna.
那么接下来的一个诗节呢，描述了 Krishna 的形体。
And the next is describing the loving pastimes of Krishna.
那第三个诗节呢，就描述了 Krishna 的爱恋逍遥时光。
So Krishna's abode, Krishna's form, and Krishna's pastime.
所以呢，就描述了 Krishna 的住所 ，Krishna 的形体 ，Krishna 的逍遥时光。
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
The abode of Krishna.It's not different than Krishna.
那么 Krishna 的住所跟 Krishna 没有分别。
The form of Krishna is not different than Krishna.
Krishna 的形体也跟 Krishna 没有分别。
The pastimes of Krishna are not different than Krishna.
并且 Krishna 的逍遥时光跟 Krishna 也没有分别。
And Lord Brahma is very kindly revealing the nature of all three.
而且主 Brahma 他非常仁慈地向我们揭示了这一切。
We'll start with the natural opulences.
我们首先来讲一讲这些自然的富裕，天然的富裕。
This is verse that's going to be shown. It comes from Chaitanya Charitamrita.
那么要给大家看的这个诗节呢，是引用的 Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And before I put the verse on the screen,
那么当我要把这个诗节打在屏幕上之前，
I'll just describe the pastime a little bit.
我来讲一段逍遥时光。
You've all heard of Rathyatra Festival.
你们大家都听过的 Rathyatra 弹车节，是吧
？Prabhupada very kindly gave us all over the world the opportunity to engage in Jagannath Rathyatra.
那么，释迦牟尼佛的呢，非常仁慈的给世人这个机会，能够有机会去参加弹车节。
When he was a small boy.
那么，当释迦牟尼佛还是一个小男孩的时候
，He went with his father to Jagannath Puri.
他和他的父亲一起去到了 Jagannath Puri.
And he observed the Rathyatra festival in Jagannath Puri.
所以呢，他在那个时候在 Jagannath Puri 亲眼看到了弹车节的举行。
And he was so excited.
他看了以后。非常的兴奋。
He wanted to go back home in Calcutta and have Rathyatra festival in Calcutta.
然后呢，他回到了家老家加尔各答，他想在那里举行弹车节。
His father was very happy.
他的父亲听了以后非常的高兴。
So he built a little Rathyatra cart.
所以呢，他就建造了一个小小做了一个小小的弹车。
And his mother prepared lots of prasadam.
然后他的妈妈呢，就准备了大量的 prasadam.
And Prabhupada got all of his little friends together.
然后呢，这帕帕呢就招来了他的所有的小朋友。
And they had kirtan in front of the cart.
他们就一起在弹车节面前举行 kirtan.
And they went around the block having Jagannath Rathyatra festival.
然后呢，他们就拉着弹车进行了弹车节。
Having kirtan and distributing prasadam.
他们一边 kirtan 一边派发食物。
It was so nice. They did it every year.
所以呢，每年都这样举行，非常的美妙。
And then when Prabhupada went to America,
后来当时的帕帕去到了美国之后
，and Mother Malati found in a import store a small set of Jagannath deities.
然后呢 ，Mother Malati， 就是 Malati 妈妈，她在一个进口公司里发现了一小小的一对一套 Jagannath 的神像。
Prabhupada immediately paid his obeisances before these little Jagannath deities.
然后呢，当帕帕看到了这个 Jagannath 神像以后，立刻就五体投地的顶拜。
And he instructed Malati's husband Shamsundra to carve very big Jagannath deities.
然后呢，他就教导 Malati 妈妈的丈夫 Shamsundra 去做一对去雕刻 Jagannath 神像大的 Jagannath 神像。
Another devotee. Jayananda was given the service of building huge current.
然后呢，加拿大他们就建了一个大的、非常大的一个弹车。
They didn't know what Jagannath was. They didn't know what a Rathyatra cart was, but just faith in Prabhupada, they did it.
那个时候他们对加格纳特是谁也不知道，他们也不知道什么是弹车节，他们只是对释迦帕帕充满了信心，所以他们这么做了。
It was a huge success.
而且他们取得了巨大的成功。
So Prabhupada said, all of our major cities all around the world, they should have Rathyatra festival like this.
所以呢，释迦帕帕说了，全世界的人，每一个城市都应该举行这样大型的弹车节。
So they immediately planned one in London and New York and Washington D.C. and
后来呢，就在伦敦，在伦敦，在纽约，在华盛顿，也许将来在北京举行这样的大型的弹车节。
Maybe one day.
可能某一天会在北京举行。
You can have a simple one somehow.
但呢，不管怎么样，可以在北京举行一些小型的弹车节目。
I'll leave it up to all of you how to figure that out.
我知道大家知道应该怎么做了。
So, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes.
那么在主 Chaitanya 的时代的，在他的逍遥时光当中。
After Jagannath leaves the Jagannath temple and goes on the Rathyatra procession, long distance away to another place called Gundicha temple.
那么呢，当举行弹车节的时候，那么 Jagannath 庙里的这个 Jagannath 神像呢，就会搬到弹车节上，然后在非常壮观的隆重的这种队伍当中呢，一直把他拉到贡迪恰这座庙。
And he stays there.
他就会在那里待上一段时间。
For over a week.
在那里待上一个礼拜的时间。
So in between, there's this big festival called Hara Panchami.
那么呢，就在此之间呢，有巨大的这种盛会叫 Hara Panchami.
Hara Panchami.
Hara Panchami.
And in that festival, the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, comes out of the temple.
那么呢，就在这个巨大的节日当中呢，幸运女神她会从庙里走出来。
And is deliberately made very opulent. The whole festivity is very opulent.
而且整个呢，这个整个这个节日呢是非常豪华的。
The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, is placed on a palanquin or a carrier of jewels and diamonds and great opulence.
那么呢，这个幸运女神呢，她就坐着这个非常珠宝华丽、装饰一新的这样的一个非常豪华的轿子上。
And the assistants of the goddess Lakshmi, they're dressed very opulently and they're beating on drums and they're in an angry mood and they go to Gundicha and say, Jagannath, come back at once. I'm the wife of you. You come back to the house now.
然后呢，那个幸运女神的那些助手们，他们也是珠光宝气的。然后呢，幸运女神就带着她的这些助手们，就是非常生气的去到了拱地禅庙，说 Jagannath, 你现在要立刻回去，回到 Jagannath 庙里。
And they're carrying sticks.
然后他们手里还拿着棍子。
And they start beating the servants of Lord Jagannath, telling you must bring Jagannath back.
然后呢，他们就用这个手里的棍子就鞭打那些 Jagannath 的仆人们，说你们现在立刻把 Jagannath 带到 Jagannath 仆役的庙。
It's a festival; they don't hurt anybody.
那么呢，这是一个节日，他们不会去伤害其他人。
And while this festival is taking place,
那么当这个在这个节日的这个当场
Lord Chaitanya and his associates are standing together.
那么呢，主 Chaitanya 和他的那些同游们，他们会站在一起。
And Srivas Pandit becomes very enthused.
那么 Srivas Pandit 他非常非常的热情高涨。
And he says, "Just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune."
那么就看啊，我们的幸运女神的这些富裕。
In Vrindavan, the gopis, they take some milk, and they boil the milk, and they churn some butter.
那么在 Vrindavan, 那些牧牛姑娘们，她们去熬牛奶，把这个牛奶呢熬成这个凝乳状。
They take some flowers, and they make some flower ornaments.
然后呢，她们把这个鲜花
装扮做成各种各样的这种装饰物。
But just see the opulence of my goddess of fortune.
那么就看看我的幸运女神的富裕吧。
She rides on a throne of pearls and gems.
她就坐在这个嵌满着镶嵌着全都是珠宝黄金的皇座上。
He's a Aishwarya Bhakta. He likes the opulence.
那么他是 Aishwarya
of Vaikuntha.
那么呢，他是处在就是被这个 Vaikuntha 的这种富裕豪华这样的所吸引的这样的一个 Bhakta 奉献者。
The associates of Lord Chaitanya were smiling.
那么呢，主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的那些同游们在那里看着这一幕，脸上微笑着。
They were appreciating his mood of love.In opulence.
那么呢，他们非常的欣赏他处在这种被Vaikuntha的富裕所吸引的这种心态当中。
And Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, you sound just like Narada Muni.
然后主 Chaitanya 说 ,Srivas, 你说话的这种口气就像是 Narada Muni.
Because he's Narada Muni.
因为他就是 Narada Muni 本人。
And it seems that you're influenced by the opulence of Dwarka.
而且看上去你好像是被 Dwarka 的富裕所影响的。
And then he turns to Swarup Damodar, who is a great devotee of Krishna in Vrindavan.
然后呢，他脸就转向了 Swarup Damodar. Swarup Damodar 在 Krishna 的消息观当中是一个伟大的奉献者。
And he says, Swarup Damodar, why don't you describe a little bit of the opulence of Vrindavan to Srivas?
然后呢，他对 Swarupa Damda 说 ：“Swarupa Damda， 你对 Srivas 来描述一下 Vrindavan 的富裕吧。”
And this verse that's shown on the screen.
那么现在我们在荧幕上看到的这个诗节，就描
is one of the verses where Swarup Damodar is describing the opulence of Vrindavan.
那么这个诗节呢，就是 Swarupa Damda 当时描述 Vrindavan 的富裕的其中的一个诗节。
The goddess of fortune is riding on a throne of jewels.
那么幸运女神坐在镶嵌着珍珠宝的王座上。
In Vrindavan, there's thousands and millions of gopis.
那么在 Vrindavan 呢，有成千上百万个。
And they're wearing these jewels as ornaments around their ankles.
而他们的这些珠宝呢，就围绕在他们的这个脚脖子上。
All the trees in Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling trees.
那么在 Vrindavan 所有的树全都是如愿树。
And they can provide not only flowers to decorate the gopis, but they can provide anything.
而且他们不仅仅能，就是这些树啊，不仅仅能为那些牧牛姑娘们提供鲜花，他们能够提供一切。
And the cows in Vrindavan, they're wish-fulfilling cows.
而且在 Vrindavan 的乳牛全都是如愿奶牛。
And they can supply unlimited quantities of milk.
他们能够提供无量的牛奶。
And therefore, the residents of Vrindavan consider the cows their greatest wealth.
所以呢，在 Vrindavan 把乳牛作为是巨大的财富。
In Vrindavan, all speech is like music.
那么在 Vrindavan讲的每一句话都像音乐一样美妙。
And all walking is like dancing.
在那里每走一步就像舞蹈一样。
And all water is like nectar.
那么所有的水就像甘露一般。
And the Brahmajyoti of the spiritual world.
在
Brahmajyoti of the spiritual world.
在灵性世界里的 Brahmajyoti.
Is in its fullness in the form of Krishna.
那么呢，它完全就是
The Brahmajyoti is present in form, in its fullness, as Krishna.
那么呢，在那个 在 Vrindavan Brahmajyoti， 它展现的就是 Krishna 的那种的形象的样子。
The goddess of fortune Lakshmi is one in the Vaikuntha realm.
那么呢，在这个 Vrindavan 居所。
In Vrindavan, all the gopis, they are super goddesses of fortune.
那么呢，在 Vrindavan, 那些牧牛姑娘们，她们是至尊的幸运女神。
And there in Vrindavan, Krishna is playing upon his flute.
那么在 Vrindavan, Krishna 吹奏了他的笛子。
Attracting the hearts and the minds not only of the gopis, but all the residents of Vrindavan.
不仅吸引了那些牧牛姑娘们的心意，他吸引了在 Vrindavan 所有的居民的心意。
Just hearing this description of the opulence of Vrindavan,
只是聆听关于 Vrindavan 的富裕的描述。
Shiva starts dancing.
Shivas 就开始翩翩起舞。
Starts making funny sounds. Everyone was laughing just to watch.
而且他还发出了一些非常滑稽的声音，每个人听了以后都捧腹大笑。
He was happy to have been defeated by Swarup Damodar.
那么呢 ，Shivas 他很高兴被 Swarup Damodar 击败。
The message here is the opulence of Vrindavan surpasses that of any other realm.
那么呢关于 Vrindavan 的这些描述超过了对其他地方的这些描述远远超过其他的地方的描述
So, Chintamani Prakara Stadmasu Kalpa Vriksha This is the first line
那么这就是这个世界的第一行
Bhaktisiddhanta writes
那 Bhaktisiddhanta 是这样写到的
Just as Maya That's where we are now, the kingdom of MayaJust as Maya builds the mundane universe with the five material elements,
就像是 Maya 以五种物质元素建造出物质宇宙一样。
So the spiritual chit potency has built the spiritual world of transcendental gems.
同样的，灵性的 chit 能量筑起了充盈超然宝石铺的灵性世界。
Chintamani is not found in Vaikuntha.
那么 Chintamani 在 Vaikuntha 是没有的。
What to speak of compared to here?
那么更不用说在这里了。
There's a description by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
那 Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 他这样描述的。
That says the gopis they wear these Chintamani stones on their shoes.
那么他说到了那些牧牛姑娘们，她们的鞋子上。就是是用这个 Chintamani 装饰着的。
You know, sometimes there's sandals and there's the bottom part where you put your feet.
那么有的时候呢，就是妇女们她们会把这个檀香浆，其他的一些这些粉抹在这个脚底。
There's a little strap that goes between the big toe and the next toe.
然后呢，就是在这个大拇指和这个二拇指之间呢，就是有一个就是鞋子有一个那个。小啾啾
and there's something that holds it all together.
这样呢，就是这两个指呢，就能够把它勾住。
The gopis use Chintamani stones for that.
那么呢，那么 gopi 们呢，他就用 Chintamani 就做这个鞋子上的这个，就这个小啾啾。
Even the building materials are Chintamani.
那么甚至是在那里的建筑物都是用 Chintamani 做成的。
Here we have cement and steel beams.They have Chintamani.
那么在那里的这个，就是一些建筑物都是用这个 Chintamani 铸造。
Many of you are familiar with the description.
那么大家可能对这样的一个描述比较熟悉。
Of Sanatan Goswami's touchstone.
那 Sanatan Goswami 的点睛石，他曾经有一个点睛石。
It's called the Sparsha Mani. Sparsha means touch.
那么呢，它的那个点睛石被称为 Sparsha Mani。
So you take the Sparsha Mani, the touchstone, and you touch it to metal, and it becomes gold.
那如果拿到了这个 Sparsha Mani 呢，这个点睛石，它碰什么就变成了黄金。
But even better than that.
那么甚至比这还要好的是
is Chintamani.
那就是 Chintamani.
Mani means jewel.
Mani 的意思是宝石。
And so Chintamani.Means a thought gem.
那么 Chintamani 那意思是如愿珠宝
You think of something that you like.
那么一旦你想到想要得到你想要得到的东西
Chintamani supplies that something you like.
那么呢 Chintamani 它就能够提供你想要的东西
You don't even have to touch it to anything.
你甚至不用去用 Chintamani 去触碰什么
Just think of something.
只要一想这样想它就能够实现。
So one might wonder.
那么可能有一个人会这样想。
Why in Vrindavan do people live so simply?
为什么在 Vrindavan 人们生活的如此的简朴
If everything is native, Chintamani.
那么那在那里实际上一切都是用 Chintamani 铸造。
One would think people might be living in palaces.
为什么他们没有生活在像皇宫一样的地方
？And living a lavish life of different ways, different kinds.
那么呢，就是生活奢华是另外的一种生活方式。
But it's not like that.
但是呢，在那里却不是这样。
It's not like that because they have only one desire.
那么，因为他们只有一个愿望，所以。
Pleasing the senses of Krishna.
他们的愿望就是要取悦 Krishna， 让 Krishna 的感官得到满足。
So whatever it is that Krishna desires, that's what they desire.
所以呢，无论 Krishna 想要什么，就是他们的愿望。
Yeah, this is mentioning in Krishna's abode, even the building material is chintamani.
那么呢，在这里说到的，在 Krishna 的住所里，那 Krishna 的住所全都是用 chintamani 做成的。
When Akura entered Vrindavan.
那么当阿库拉进入到文达文的时候
He was sent to Vrindavan by Kamsa to get Krishna.
那么呢他是被康萨派去
He started rolling in the ground.
接 Krishna. 然后他 一进入到文达文他立刻满地打滚
Because the dust of Vrindavan was mixed with the dust from Krishna's lotus feet.
因为文达文的尘土都是触碰到了 Krishna 的莲花足
And thenKalpa Vriksha Laksha Vritesu.
而且那里有如愿树 Kalpa Vriksha.
Kalpa Vriksha means purpose trees or desire trees.
那么 Kalpa Vriksha 的意思是如愿树。
Now, Sandini, when do I have to end?
Sandini 妈妈，我们什么时候结束啊？这堂课？是一点。
There's so many nice things to say about Vrindavan.
关于 Vrindavan 有很多要说的，非常美妙的要说的。
I want to share with you some of the things that our great acharyas have said about the trees of Vrindavan.
那么，我要跟大家分享了，就是先前 acharya 他们关于描述 Vrindavan 的树木的这样的诗篇。
And you'll be amazed to hear what they have to say about.
那么当你们听到他们如何描述文达文的树木的时候，你们会感到非常的惊讶。
Here is Jiva Goswami's short description.
那么 Jiva Goswami 他简明扼要的这样的描述了。
This is Lord Shiva speaking to his wife Parvati.
那么这是 Shiva 对他的妻子 Parvati 讲的一段话。
On each and every path in Goloka, there are many different kinds of desire trees.
那么呢，在 Goloka 的每个地方有各种各样的如愿树。
Some are splendid as the pristine full moon.
那么呢，有的呢，就像是，就像天空的皓月一样，非常的灿烂。
And some are like the newly rising sun.
而有的呢，就像是刚刚升起的太阳一样，光芒万丈。
Some have.Jewels on their branches.
啊，有一些呢，它的树枝上挂满了珠宝。
And some have buds as splendid as gold.
那么呢，有些树上它的这个花蕾就像黄金一样，露出这样的金灿的颜色。
Whatever flower or fruit one wishes.
那么无论他们结出什么样的果实。
At once the desire tree manifests those.Flowers.
那么如愿树它就会去盛开这样的花朵和果实。
But why would any resident of Vrindavan want a flower to offer to Krishna?
那么为什么 Vrindavan 的居民们他们把这些花供奉给 Krishna?
I have pages of glorification of the trees of Vrindavan.
那么我在这里呢有好几页纸是荣耀 Vrindavan 的树木的。我现在呢只不过在这里。
Vishwanatha
Chakravarti说道。
Originally there is only one Kalpa Vriksha tree in Vrindavan.
那么他说到了原本一开始在 Vrindavan 只有一种如愿树。
And just by association with that one Kalpa Vriksha tree,
那么一个人只要接触到了其中的一棵如愿树。
He says others have taken on the same quality.
那么其他的就会具有同样的品质。
In the same way, there is only one Krishna.
那也就是说，在灵性世界，只有 Krishna 是独一无二的。
He alone is the master in Vrindavan.
那么他本人就是 Vrindavan 的主人。
And by his association, his dear cowherd boys and cowherd girls have taken on qualities like him.
那么呢，只是通过去和他的这些牧牛童、牧牛姑娘们联谊，一个人就能够具有像他那样的品质。
He describes that original Kalpa Vriksha tree.
那他描述了那原始的那棵如愿树。
And the tree grows next to a jeweled palace. That original Kalpa Vriksha tree grows near a jeweled palace.
那么这棵如叶，这原本的这棵如叶树呢，就长在一个非常豪华的宫殿旁边。
And it's that palace is surrounded by a grove of offspring of that Kalpa Vriksha tree.
然后呢，这个宫殿呢就被这个 Kalpa Vriksha 这个树环绕着。
Some places there are ruby and vines.Which embrace crystal trees.
然后呢，有一些就是有一些建筑物呢，是被那些透明的那些非常透明的那些树木给环绕着。
In some places, there are emerald trees embraced by golden vines.
那
emerald trees, emerald is a kind of stone, precious stone.
那么有一些建筑物呢，它是用这种非常名贵的宝石建造的。
It doesn't matter the season. The Kalpa Vriksha trees supply flowers and fruits of any season.
所以呢，那么在宁心世界，在 Vrindavan， 任何这些树木，如叶树，在任何季节都会提供果实。
Their leaves are jewels.
他们的这个，他们的这个树枝，树叶子。
Their fruits are jewels.
它们的叶子是充满了枝叶，它们的果实充满了枝叶。
And the flowers are jewels.
它们的这个鲜花也充满了枝叶。
And although they're splendid, they bow down in great humility before everyone.
因为它们的这种谦卑，所以它们都弯弯的下垂。
Sometimes they can assume different forms.
有的时候他们会变化出不同的样子。
Sometimes they assume the form of sweetest nectar.
有的时候他们会变换成就像是甘露的甜蜜的那种。
Other times they assume forms of crystal.
有的时候他们会变换成这种。
And other times forms of very cooling camphor.
然后有的时候他们会散发出非常芬芳的这种樟脑的那种芳香。
And it goes, there's a whole chapter dedicated to the trees of Vrindavan.
那么呢，整个有整整的一章来描述了 Vrindavan 的这些树木。
Now when we go there, we don't have that vision.
那么当我们去了那里的时候，我们没有这样的视野。
But those that have qualifications like these great acharyas, this is what they see.
但是那些就像是那些具有先前的 acharya 们所描述的那些品质的人，他们能够有这样的视野看到这一切。
Oh, we can say no, can't be like that.
然后可能我们就会对自己说，哦，我不能够这个样子。
And they say yes, it can be like that.
那么但是他们说可以这样，可以做到这一点，除非你具有这样的资格，这样的品质。
And that's what Brahma also realized and expressed.
这就是 Brahma。婆罗诃摩他所觉悟到的，并且他描述出来了。
And now we'll speak about the cows.
我们现在来讲一讲宁心世界的乳牛。
Lakshavriteshu sarvira vipalayantam. This word in Sanskrit, laksha, it means who knows the answer? It's 100,000 is 1 lakh.
那么 laksha 的意思是十万的意思，它是一个量词。
In the land of Krishna, there is many thousands, hundreds of thousands of, but they're not just ordinary cows; they're Surabhi cows.
那么呢，在宁心世界里有数百千万这样的乳牛，它们不是一般的牛，是 Surabhi 乳牛。
And so we find.Along with Krishna playing his flute, we find Krishna with cows.
然后我们可以看到 Krishna, 他们 Krishna 不仅吹奏笛子，他身边还环绕着这些乳牛，总是带着乳牛。
There's a type of cow found in very, very, very rare type of cow called the Kamadhenu.
那么呢，有一种非常罕有的乳牛，名字叫 Kamadhenu。
This word kama means desire.
Kama 的意思是愿望。
And denu means they fulfill desires.
Denu 的意思是实现这些愿望。
And this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says about the Kamadhenus of Goloka.
这就是 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 他写到的描述的在灵性世界里 Kamadhenu 如燕奶牛。
You read
it? 这些如燕奶牛一挤变产奶，但是 Goloka 的 Kamadhenu 倾注的却是牛奶之阳，爱之甘泉，沐以超然的喜乐，解除所有纯粹奉献者的饥渴。
The painting is showing the churning of the milk ocean.
那么我们在这里可以看到这个图片上所看到的这个海洋。
You know this from Srimad Bhagavatam?
你们知道这一幕描述的圣典博迦瓦坛的内容。
The demons and the demigods, they churned the milk ocean.
那么那个时候呢，半神人和恶魔他们在一起搅拌如海。
One day you'll read it in Srimad Bhagavatam.
那么大家可以来阅读一下 Srimad Bhagavatam 的这段描述。
And from the churning of the milk ocean, the Kamadhenu came.
那么呢，他们在搅拌如海的过程当中呢，就产生出了 Kamadhenu 这样的乳牛。
But in Goloka, there's Surabhi cows unlimited in number.
但是呢，在 Goloka Vrindavan 那里有无量的。有无数个这样 Surabhi 乳牛。
All the cows are Surabhi cows.
所有的乳牛都是 Surabhi 乳牛。
And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's description of Parashurama's father. Parashurama is one of the avatars of Krishna.
那么呢，在圣典博迦瓦坛描述了 Parashurama 的父亲。Parashurama 呢是 Krishna 的一个化身。
Parashurama was a It's the son of a Brahmana.
那么 Parashurama 是一位婆罗门的儿子。
And that Brahmana's name was Janmadagni.
而这个婆罗门的名字叫 Janmadagni.
Janmadagni had a Kamadhenu.
那么 Janmadagni 就拥有一头 Kamadhenu.
He just had one.
他就有一头。
But that one cow could fulfill all his desires.
但是就这一头乳牛就能够满足所有的愿望。
But in Goloka, there's unlimited numbers of Surabhi cows.
但是在 Goloka 有无数 Surabhi 乳牛。
So, nice paintings you'll always find of Krishna and his cows.
那么我们总是可以看到 Krishna 和乳牛在一起，这是非常美丽的。
There's Jamadagni.
这是 Jamadagni.
There's a Surabhi cow.
这就是 Surabhi 乳牛。
And there's some king, proud king.Trying to trick Jamadagni and steal his cow.
那么呢，有一个非常傲慢的国王呢，他在那里训斥，Jamadagni 偷走了他的乳牛。
His son Parashurama became a little angry.
后来呢 ，Jamadagni 的儿子 Parashurama 对此非常的愤怒。
And thieves had a little run-in with Parashurama.
然后呢，这些Parashurama 就开始追逐那些盗走乳牛的人。
Then.We're almost done. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrama Sevyamanam. This is Sahasrashata. There's the goddesses of fortune are unlimited. Sahasrashata means they're unlimited in number.
那么 Sahasrashata 的意思是难以计数的意思，数不尽数的。
And I'll just read one little statement.About the goddesses of fortune.
我现在来读一段关于幸运女神的，一个小小的一小段话。
According to Rupa Goswami.
那么根据 Rupa Goswami 所写
，the number of residents of a number of gopis in Vrindavan are too many to count. They're countless.
那么呢，在 Vrindavan 的这些牧牛姑娘的数量吧，是难以计数的。
Now I'm quoting from Rupa Goswami's writing.
我现在来引述 Rupa Goswami 写的一段话。
Out of 100 million gopis.
在千百万牧牛姑娘当中
，800,000 are eternally perfect.
那么呢，其中有108位是非常完美、永恒完美的。
The number is presented in this verse.
那么在这里面所提到的这个数量
should not be considered as limiting.
那不应该认为它是有限的。
There are the associates of the king.
他们就像是国王的这些
and the queen of Vrindavan.
那么在 Vrindavan 的王后。
And those associates are unlimited, you cannot count them.
而她的这个女皇，在 Vrindavan 的王后的他们的这个侍的随从也是无数的。
And these are just some of the opulences of the abode of Krishna.
那么这就是关于这里描述了关于 Krishna 的富裕。
The goddesses of fortune in Vaikuntha, their expansions of Srimati Radharani.
那么在 Vaikuntha, 那么这里描述了 Krishna 的伴侣的富裕。在 Vaikuntha, 幸运女神，他们实际上是 Radharani, 在 Goloka 的 Radharani 的扩展。
And there are these different manifestations of the goddess of fortune in Vaikuntha.
那么在 Vaikuntha 呢，幸运女神展示的各式各样。
And in Dwarka,
在 Dwarka,
we know there are 16,108 queens of Krishna.
我们都知道 Krishna 在 Dwarka 一共有16,108位王后。
But in Goloka, there's unlimited numbers of gopis.
但是在 Goloka 牧牛姑娘的数量是无以计数的。
Chief amongst them, of course, is Srimati Radharani.
当然，在所有的这些牧牛姑娘当中，首要的一位就是 Srimati Radharani.
In Sri Brahma Samhita, there's one very extensive verse that we'll be discussing, where the love of Radha and Krishna is described.
那么呢，在这个Brahma Samhita 当中有一段。就描述了 Radha 和 Krishna 之间的这种奇妙的爱恋之情。
And then the refrain, Govinda, Adi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. And so that ends the first of the Brahma Samhita prayers to Lord Govinda.
那么呢，就这样，我们今天到此就结束了。Brahma Samhita 的第一个诗节的所讲的内容。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, put the light on, please.
请大家把灯开一下好吗？或者是补充的、讨论的。
Yes.
So I heard that Brahma Samhita we read now actually.It's not the full original Brahma Samhita. It's
one chapter out of 100. I mentioned at the very beginning.
就是刚才Sri Deha Prabhu说到的，说我们现在读到的 Brahma Samhita 婆罗门摩赞不是原本的那个原初的那个。然后 Maharaj 就说到了。刚才一开始就提到了婆罗诃摩赞其中一共有100个部分我们现在读到的是其中的一个部分
is the Paribhasa Sutra of the other 99
然后Jiva Goswami说到了其中的一个诗节是 Paribhasa Sutra 它是其他的99个的就像是种子世界一样从这个世界当中扩展出那么其中的这一个诗节呢就贯穿了整个所有其他的这个诗节
This text performs that function for the other 99 that are missing
然后呢这个诗节呢就它所充任的这样的一个功能呢就是所流失的其他的99个诗节的部分讲述了
You'll see there's a lot inside this little skinny book
所以呢这本小书呢涵盖的内容是非常精深博大的大家还有其他的问题吗？
Brahma Samhita 是属于 Sruti 还是属于 Smriti？
So Brahma Samhita belong to Sruti or Smriti？
It's spoken by Lord Brahma.
因为它是由 Brahma 亲口讲述的。
About Krishna.
是亲口讲述关于 Krishna 的
讯息。So it's in the category of Smriti.
所以呢，它可以被列为是 Smriti。的范畴
For those of you that don't know, the distinction is something that's directly spoken by the personality of Godhead or something that's spoken about the personality of Godhead.
那么呢 Smriti 和 Sruti 之间的区别就是 Sruti 指的是由至尊人格所生 Krishna 亲口讲述的而 Smriti 呢是讲述的关于至尊人格所生的讯息
and the second one expands the meaning of the first one.
那么呢 ，the second one.
The second one, Smriti.
Smriti 呢，那么就 Smriti 呢，它扩充了 Shruti 所讲述的内容。还有其他的问题吗？
Are we the only Sampradaya that accepts the Brahma Samhita? It's not recognized by any other Sampradayas?
那么呢，新华斯瓦米就问到了，是不是就是我们这个使徒传系，学这本书，而不被其他的使徒传系所认可呢
？I don't know the answer to that.
啊，马哈拉吉说这个问题我回答不上来，我不知道。
Is it still recognized? I mean, the temple where Lord Chaitanya found that scripture in that temple, is that Brahma Samhita still recited?
那新华斯瓦米就问到了，当时主持泰涅马哈帕布去了南印度，在那个庙宇里面发现了 Brahma Samhita 这个部分，那么是不是至今为止那个庙仍然在吟诵 Brahma Samhita 被他们所认可？
Maybe I should ask Chaitanya.
Well, have you ever been to the Adi Kesava temple?
No,
I have.
那么马哈拉吉就问了新华斯瓦米去过 Adi Kesava 这座庙宇没有？跟帕拉斯瓦米说他去过。
The Adi Kesava temple was plundered, and it's now practically barren by the local priests. They took the treasury.Of the temple, and it's now like shambles. It's very sad.
Can I translate this?
You can translate that.
Maharaj 说那个 Hari Keshava 这个庙宇，当时就是那个祭司吧，他拿走了、偷走了庙里的所有的这些珠宝，然后把它给掩埋了。所以这个消息是很糟糕的一个消息。
A local king.Took under his care another temple that's just north of the Adi Kesava temple. A local king、
yes.
took charge. He used his royal treasury to renovate and see to the maintenance of the Ranganath temple.
Ranganath temple. 后来呢，就是当地的有一个国王，他用自己的这个宝库里的这些资金，然后就去重新的就建造了这个庙宇。
It gets really political in South India sometimes. You can translate.
也许在就是当时在南印度，就是这也是就是可能会实际发生的。
There's a couple here from India, and I think you know what I mean.
那么，对，就是说在南印度，在印度有的时候会发生这样的事情，可能在座的有这个印度人。你们对此会比较熟悉一些。
I was told that since the time that I visited the Adi Kesava temple, which was like 10 years ago, since then the local king has also taken interest and given protection.
然后呢，就是当时我是在十年以前去到了这个 Hari Kesava 这座庙。
Adi Kesava
这座庙，那个时候呢，当地的这个君王。他们就是采取了一些保护措施。
So they're not doing too much of anything. I'm not even cleaning the pigeon school when I was there.
那么当我在那里的时候呢，就是他们并没有给出就是很好的去照料这个庙宇，然后甚至没人去打扫那里的鸽子撒下，就是
厨房
啊，就是在那里甚至没有人去打扫那里的厨房。
It's very sad.
很糟糕的一件事情。
But maybe it's gotten better since then.
可能也许现在状况好点。
So the answer to your question is I doubt it.
所以。
They had a copy at one time when Lord Chaitanya visited. It was obviously flourishing, and now it's the opposite.
那么呢，当主显坦涅马哈帕布发现《Brahma Samhita》这本书的时候，那个年代、那个地方还是非常繁华的。非常一派繁华的样子，但是现在跟以前是完全两样。
They are not from the Brahma Sampradaya.
他们可能不是从，他们不是这个 Brahma Sampradaya.
But they obviously respected the book, but they had it in their library.
但显而易见呢，他们是还是非常尊重这样的《Brahma Samhita》这本书的。
Sounds like it's a Vishnu Mandir.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So it must, is it not Ramanuja Sampradaya?
That's a long story. No. Short answer. They would not have standards like that. It's some other thing. That, you know, how Ramanuja temples became Ramanuja temples, they were in a similar condition until Ramanuja went there and lifted up the standard and sent people there to maintain the standard, and then it flourished because the deity was served nicely. Many of those temples that are now Sri Vaishnava temples before were not, before he went there personally and lifted them up. They were neglected. The histories are there. You want to translate? Somebody. Yeah.
然后那个那申哈斯拉米就问，用帕拉斯拉米就是他们是不是其他的那个使徒传系的？是拉玛努加阿查耶的使徒传系。然后马哈拉吉说到了，不算，也不是拉玛努加阿查耶的使徒传系，可能是其他的一些传系当中的。然后后来就是说，后来就是他们就是派出来一些人在那里重新树立起这个崇拜的标准。然后去维系了这个地方，这样子。在那个时候，那个就是那座庙还是非常好的被得以维系了。
Anything else?
I'm not clear what is the difference between Kama Venu and Surabhi.
What's the difference between
Chinese?
他讲的是英语。然后那个斯卡利卡他们说，卡马德努和苏拉比乳牛之间有什么区别啊？为什么一个叫卡马德努，一个叫苏拉比？Sorry.
They're Surabhi. I think it's a matter of nomenclature or terminology, not so much something so vastly different.
那么我想就是他们俩之间 Kamadenu 还是 Surabhi 就是没有太大的区别，没有什么太大的区别，可能就是这个一个用词的不一样而已。
In other words, the cows in Vrindavan,one might call them by either name.
那么呢，就是在 Vrindavan, 就是他们叫这个乳牛的时候，可能这两个都可以，一个或者是用 Surabhi, 或者是用 Kamadenu.
I believe in the purport, Bhakti Siddhanta similarly refers to the cows in Vrindavan or Goloka as Kamadenus.
那么呢，在那个 Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvataku 他这个要旨当中，他特意指明了在 Goloka 或 Vrindavan 这个乳牛指的是 Kamadenu。
However, more commonly, the cows in Vrindavan are called Surabhi.
那么呢，通常一般情况下，在 Vrindavan 那里的乳牛被称为 Surabhi 乳牛。
Both can work.
那么这两者都可以。在问他们，要么叫 Kamadenu 乳牛，或者是 Surabhi 乳牛，都可以。
Which book was this chapter on from the about the cows of Vrindavan?
Oh.
那么哪一本书讲到了 Vrindavan 的乳牛
？The Vrajamiti Chintamani is the book by
Vrajamiti Chintamani 这本书里面讲到了乳牛的事情。
Is the book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur? He has a whole chapter.
那么这本书呢是由Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur 写的，它其中有整整的一个章节描述了 Vrindavan 的乳牛。
And I didn't read. There's pages of Prabodhananda Saraswati from.Vrindavan Mahimamrita.
那么呢，还有好几页纸，是由 Prabodhananda.
Prabodhananda Saraswati.
Prabodhananda Saraswati 他讲到了 Vrindavan Mirta 这本书里面谈到了，也谈到了 Vrindavan 的乳牛。
And in some places, Rupa Goswami also describes that in such a dedicated way.
那么呢，还有这 Rupa Goswami 他在别的地方，在其他的经典里面也描述了 Vrindavan 的乳牛。
So when they describe, are they taking references from the Vedas? Is it?
那么当他们去描述 Vrindavan 的乳牛的时候，他们是不是也是引经据典？
As far as I know, no.
那么据我所知，没有这样。
Something that we're going to be describing a little bit later.
那么我们在以后要讲的内容当中会提到。
It's a different process.
那么呢，他们是引用了不同的方式，或者是程序。
Mantra Upasana process.
他们用的是Upasana 这样的程序。
And the Saraswati process that follows that one.
然后 Saraswati 这样子的程序。
Should I describe it right now?
我现在来读一下吗
？Okay, since there's no other questions, I'll use the time that way.
问其他人。
Have you got a question? Okay.
那个点金石都在哪里有哪里没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有
没有没有
没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没有没
Would you like to go there?
你想去那吗？
没想过。
So far, that's not to think of it yet.
Okay. Would you like to go there?
那你想去吗？
想。
Yes.
Would you like to know how to go there?
你想知道如何去那吗？ Yes.
Okay, so I'm going to describe that.
那我准备描述，我准备讲一讲。
Okay.
好吗？
And it's related to how the class began.
而且呢，他现在的要讲的内容呢，也跟我们一开始开课的时候讲的内容是相关的。
If you have a nice dictionary,
如果你想有一个好的词典
you can look at text number 3 from Brahma Samhita.
哦，那么你想就是要了解它的内容的话，你就去看一看 Brahma Samhita 的第三个世界。
And explains the following process.
而且他就描述了刚才说到的那些程序。
Those who are conditioned souls like us.
那么那些像我们这样受制约的灵魂。
May be given a process of purification.
那么可能我们要实践的是净化的这样的一个程序。
That process of purification is chanting of mantra.
那么这种净化的程序就是唱诵 Hare Krishna mantra。
We're Kali Yuga folks.
那么这就是卡利年代所要专注的一个曼陀。
So we receive a mantra that anyone can chant, even Kali Yuga people can chant.
那么所以我们得到的这个曼陀罗是这个卡利年代任何一个人都可以念诵的。
That's the Maha mantra.
那么这个曼陀罗就是 Maha mantra.
And after some time of chanting the Maha mantra.
那么当念诵 Hare Krishna Maha mantra 一段时间之后。
We may receive initiation into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
那么我们可能会得到启迪，受到这个圣名的启迪。
And if we continue nicely chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra,
如果你是继续很好的去念诵 Hare Krishna Mahamantra 的话
，and qualify ourselves in other important ways.
那么如果你让自己具备了培养了资格，具有了更重要的一些品质
，we may then receive.The very same mantras that Lord Brahma received.
那么我们可能会得到 Brahma 当时所念的 mantra.
For us, that's second initiation or Brahminical initiation.
那么呢，这样的一个程序呢，就是第二次启迪，是婆罗门启迪。
And there are mantras within the mantras that we receive at the time of second initiation.
那么呢，这就是在。第二次启迪的时候，我们会得到一些曼陀罗。
That provide this mantra upasana process.
那么呢，这就是提供了 upasana 这样的一个 mantra。
mantra
upasana。
Mantra
upasana。
Okay, I want to get eye contact. So you're tilting your head that way, but I want to see her if she has the questions.
是因为你提到这个问题，所以 Maharaj 他想看着你回答这个问题。
Jiva Goswami describes like this.
那么 Jiva Goswami 是这样描述的。
These mantras generally portray a particular pastime of Krishna or an aspect of Krishna.
那么他说到了每一个曼陀罗呢，实际上是非常具体的描述了 Krishna 的逍遥时光的一个方面。
It's compared to a lake.
那么它被比喻为就像是一个湖。
And by chanting that mantra with full attention.
那么当一个人全神贯注地去吟诵这些曼陀罗的时候
Undivided attention in devotion
那么并且他是怀着这种深深的奉爱之情
One may enter into that lake
那么一个人才能够进入到这个湖中
And then one may see that pastime of Krishna or that aspect of Krishna, a feature of Krishna
可能如此一个人他或许能够见到 Krishna 的逍遥时光的某一个方面或者是 Krishna 的品质的某一个方面
It's a type of meditation upon Krishna
这就是对 Krishna 的一种冥想
Through mantra
是通过曼陀罗进行对 Krishna 的冥想
For qualified people
那这是对就是有资格的人能够这样做
Maha mantra helps us become qualified
那么呢 Maha mantra 能够帮助我们获得这些品质
And then these Gayatri mantras help usto have a meditation upon a pastime of Krishna or an aspect of Krishna.
那么呢 Gayatri Mantra 呢能够帮助一个人去冥想 Krishna 的逍遥时光或者是去冥想 Krishna 的某一个方面。
And then within the mantra, we can see Krishna.
而且通过这个曼陀罗他能够见到 Krishna.
The form of Krishna is within the mantra.
那么 Krishna 的形体就在这个曼陀罗之中
or the particular pastime of Krishna is within the mantra
或者是 Krishna 的某个逍遥时光 Krishna 的一个具体的逍遥时光就在这个曼陀罗当中
and that's very nice
这是非常美妙的
but commonly lakes are there's a little river feeding the lake making the lake and then a little stream going out of the lake into another bigger river or another lake
那么通常情况下呢就是这个小湖它会它其中的这个水啊这个粘液啊它会慢慢的流到另外一个湖泊当中河流当中
So once you're in the lake
所以呢当一个人进入到这个进入到湖泊当中的时候
You can enter into the river
你也就是也可以进入到河流当中
And the river is one continuous flow ofpastime after pastime after pastime of Krishna
那么呢这个河流呢它就会源源不断的 流淌出来的是关于 Krishna 的一个逍遥时光接着一个逍遥时光
and then it's a grand crescendo of not just seeing the pastimes of Krishna but participating in the pastimes of Krishna
那么呢它不仅仅能够看到 Krishna 的逍遥时光而且它能够实际的进入到 Krishna 的逍遥时光当中
And that has a name in Sanskrit.
那么这就那么对这样的就是有一个名字。
It's Sarasaki.
这就那么这个程序就叫做 Sarasaki.
And Bhakti Siddhanta calls it jubilation of the heart.
那么 Krishna, Bhakti Siddhanta 就把这种状态叫做
jubilation.
就是充盈着喜乐。
Jumping for joy inside the heart.
那么也就是说他的内心充盈着喜悦
兴奋
达到了一种
So my understanding is that Vishwanath Chakravarti and Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami that describe pastimes that we don't know about that's their sourceIt's that Sarasaki, they're experiencing and they're participating in those pastimes by that process.
那么呢就是通过这个Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sanskrit Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, 他们所撰写的这种 关于这个 Sarasa key 的描述。
And then they come back to external consciousness and they write these pastimes down or these features of Krishna and Goloka for the benefit of us worldly people.
所以呢，他们当时已经进入到了这种非就是进入到了 Krishna 的消时光当中，然后体验到了这种极乐。当他们从这种极乐的这种状态当中恢复外在的知觉之后，他们能够把这些 Krishna 的消时光写述出记录下来，铸成书籍，是为了造福于大众。
Just like you were describing in class this morning.
就像是您今天早上在早课的时候讲到的。
There's the unqualified that imitate, and then there's the qualified.
嗯，那么呢，就是就是有一些就是不具资格的，他们去模仿效仿那些具有资格的人，然后让自己具有这样的品质。
In his Krishna Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami writes.
那么呢，在 Jiva Goswami 所著作的 Sandarbha
Krishna Sandarbha
Krishna Sandarbha 这本书里面
，He writes that even today in Vrindavan there are persons.Who can experience the unmanifest pastimes of Krishna within their heart?
那么呢，在这本书里面，吉瓦公司他们就写到了，即便是当今在 Vrindavan 有一些人，他们也能够在内心体验到对 Krishna 的那种极乐，逍遥时光。
That's one of the texts that's going to be coming up in text 38 of Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. The same process is being elucidated or expanded.
那么呢，实际上是在其中的一个师节，同样的讲述了这同一个程序，同样的一个程序。
They're not imaginative; they're spontaneous ecstasies that permit them, with the eyes of love, to see Krishna. Krishna reveals his form. Krishna reveals his pastimes. They come to external consciousness and provide them for us.
那么实际上，他们的这种体验不是虚构的。而是他们真的是因为他们的眼睛上涂满了对 Krishna 的爱膏，所以他们能够亲自的去见到 Krishna， 并且看到有这种极乐的体验。
We'll hear more about this in text 37 also.
那么在第37师节也讲到了同一个内容。
It's a very deep subject matter, like I said at the beginning.
那么这是一个非常深刻的话题。
But it's all presented in Brahma Samhita.
但所有的这一切都在 Brahma Samhita 当中有详细的描述。
I'll just add one other thing.
我现在在附加一些内容。
I mentioned at the very beginning these first three Govinda prayers. They're a little group.
那么在一开始讲这个课的。一开始我就提到了头三个师节被形成了 Govinda， 就是赞美 Govinda 的一个部分。
The abode of Krishna is the first one.
那么首第一个师节呢，描述的是 Krishna 的住所。
Then comes the form of Krishna.
那么第二个师节呢，描述的是 Krishna 的形体。
And then comes the pastimes of Krishna.
第三个师节描述的是 Krishna 的逍遥时光。
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Then there's four verses that follow those first three verses.
那么在头三个师节之后的后面的四个师节。
That Bhaktisiddhanta says.
那 Bhaktisiddhanta 这样说道。
They're to help remove the doubts of people that are not so faithful.
那么就是去除掉了我一些人他们对此不理解的一些疑惑。
They hear these amazing things about Krishna's form and his pastimes and his abode.
那么呢，去聆听到 Krishna 的形体、Krishna 的住所、Krishna 的消时光的描述，这是非常美妙的讯息。
And in their doubting mood, they may think, they may consider.
然后呢，会有一些人会产生这样的疑惑。
Maybe this is just some exaggeration.
那么他们可能想到了，也许这夸大其词了吧。
Some really enthusiastic devotees got together and made up these nice things.
那么可能就是一些非常的兴奋的、非常激情洋溢的一些奉献者，他们在一起就这样说着说着就虚构了这些东西。
It can't really be like that.
不可能像这样子。
trees that produce anything.
那里的树什么都产。
Cows that give unlimited quantities of milk, and for that matter, anything.
然后呢，那里的乳牛生产出无量的牛奶。
The building materials are wish fulfilling gems.
那甚至那些建筑材料都是那些珠宝构成的。
Too much.
哎呀，讲的太夸张了吧。
For those doubting persons,
对于那些心存疑虑的人
，Brahma speaks the next four verses.
然后 Brahma 他就接下来说到了这三个世界之后的四个世界。
We're going to spend a whole class on each one of those four verses because they're so important.
对每一个世界呢，足以都可以讲一节课。
To help remove the doubt, you can understand. Yes, it can be like this. Krishna can be like this. His pastimes can be like this. His abode can be like this. Now I understand how it is so.
然后呢？那么可能有人会讲，Krishna 的住所、Krishna 的消息观、Krishna 的形体，也许是这个样子的。然后当他们读到了这四个世界之后，他们就能够非常的清楚事情的真相是到底是怎么回事。
Stay tuned for the coming classes. That's coming attractions. It's an advertisement for the next.
那我现在呢，在为下一节课来进行广告，来吸引你们的。
Shri Brahma Samhita
Ki Jai.
Two questions and that's it. One and who's the other one? Two. And that's it.
现在有两个问题。
Is this Mataji here? Is Mataji here?
我们还要
请
您刚才讲到，就是只有通过海亚水曼陀。才能看到菩萨的逍遥时光和连接到菩萨的笛声，
帮助我们，
帮助啊，对。那是不是在就是说二次启迪念诵白牙垂曼陀对我们来说也是有非常重要的意义，让我们就是能够更有强的愿望，应该是去培养这种快乐门的品质，然后获得二次启迪呢，而不是仅仅一次启迪。
就你说的是必须二次启迪吗？
就是说，你如果要想
拥
有
更大的东西，看到 Krishna 的消息，听到 Krishna 的音，是不是二次启迪是非常重要的，而不仅仅只是一次启迪。
Okay, I'll say it
again. Gayatri, your lecture is mentioned that, Gayatri Mantra can help one meditate on the pastimes of Lord Krishna and also meditate on the flute.
Meditate on the
flute.The tune come from the Krishna's flutes.
Yeah.
And so that means the second initiation is very important for
yes.
devotees.
Yes.
So not only the first initiation.
Yes. It's not only important, it's important to be qualified.
那么呢，它是很重要。最重要的是我们要有这样的品质，要有这样的资格。
Did you hear the morning class?
今天早上您听到 Maharaj 的讲课了吗？
He was speaking about one must be qualified.
那么 Maharaj, 那时候 Maharaj 就讲说了，一个人必须要有这样的资格，就有这样的品质。
And then, when we receive the mantra, then something can happen.
那么一个人才能够得到这样的曼陀罗，那一个人才能够做到刚才说到的那一些。
Yay, become qualified.
是的，我们要具有资格。
And then, yay, we see Gayatri Mantra.
然后呢，我们就得到 Gayatri Mantra.
And then, yay, meditate deeply upon Krishna.
然后呢，对 Krishna 进行深深的冥想。
And go back to Godhead.
然后回归首身。
那是不是二次启迪的观众们都能听到
非常
的
音乐 that means all the devotees who receive the second initiation, the brahmanas, all of them can listen the flute of the Krishna?
If they chant Gayatri Mantra properly.
如果他们正确地念诵了 Gayatri Mantra.
How about you?
你呢？
Become qualified.
你要具备这样的资格。
And there's a process to become qualified.
那么要想培养这些资格的话，是有一个程序的，有一个方程。
After Shringa Maharaj, she'll tell you about the process to become qualified.
我想，你Shringa Maharaj会告诉你怎么样具备这些品质的一个方法。
He spoke about it all morning.
今天早上他讲到了相关的内容。
Or just listen to the recording.
那么你再听一听录音，贾克录音。
Okay.
谈到文章文的话题，就少不了有那个鸟鸣的声，所以在这个。
Hold it further away, too loud.
啊，
你
把它那个，
在这本书当中，有哪一个章节描述了鸟的这个美丽的这些时光的一些描述
？Say that, as long as we speak about Vrindavan.As long as we speak about Vrindavan, we always mention the birds in the Vrindavan. Yeah. So in this Brahma Samhita, is there any words describe the charming birds in the Vrindavan?
No.
在这个 Brahma Samhita 里面没有时节描述 Vrindavan 的这个鸟鸣儿鸟叫。
It's only 62 verses.
因为它只有62个时节。
It's in the Bhagavatam.
在佛教瓦坛。
18,000 verses.
那么佛教瓦坛一共有18,000个时节。
No birds in 62 verses.
那么在62个时节里面没有讲到鸟的事儿。
But if you like descriptions, you'll find them in Canto 10.
但是如果你想要去了解文章的鸟名的话，你可以在佛教瓦坛的第十篇里找到。
Srila Prabhupada ki
Jai
Prabhupada Swami ki
Jai
Ashwini Swami ki
Jai